Too many of us miss out on the joy of being present because we can't let go of things from the past. Re-experiencing traumas, reliving mistakes, regretting lost opportunities. We can even get stuck in the memories of a past that seemed better. But Jesus offers a new life. He can help us begin to experience a better today. Join us as we get unstuck in our new series, Redeemed, Dealing with the Past.
Good day, church. Good evening, good morning, whenever you're watching. It's good to have you with us on Facebook, or you can watch this. If you're watching this after Saturday night, it'll be on our website. If you're watching it, maybe let other people know that so they know where to find this service. I just want to remind you, every time I stand up here to preach, I start out by saying, hello, church. And I'm saying hello to the church, because whether we're in this building or we're watching somewhere, we are still the church. If we're in Christ, we are the church. In fact, I was told just before I came up here that one of our missionaries in Hungary, Jerry McNamara, is actually watching this service on Saturday night from Hungary. Isn't that cool that we can be partaking in this worship service together all over the world? And I think that's awesome, and I just want to remind you that we are the church wherever we are, if we are in Christ. Before I get into the main message tonight, I do have something I want to share. By the way, I'm Pastor Vern, if you don't know, Pastor Vern, and it's my pleasure to be bringing you the message and the word tonight. And I want to begin with a word from the book of 1 Peter. This is not the message this evening, but it's something that I felt God leading me to speak to for a moment, so I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Now let me stop, okay? I am not saying that we are in the end times, although in a sense we are always in the end times because we know Jesus could come back at any time. But remember, when Peter wrote this, this was in the 50s AD, and a lot of time has passed since then. So he's just saying we always need to be prepared for the return of Christ. And listen to what he says in terms of how we are to be prepared. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I just thought that was a perfect word for us in the midst of what we're going through right now with this virus and the anxiety. Peter reminds us of how we as the body of Christ are to live out days just like this. And so, you know, read that passage again when you get a chance, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But just listen to some of the things he says. Be alert and sober-minded. We should be informed, we should be educated. But I do want to say this. Some of you are going to start to get very anxious because you're hearing way too much, and you need to turn the TV off, turn the radio off, just take some time, take a walk, spend some time with family or friends, and let your mind rest from time to time, okay? But be alert, be sober-minded, pray. Folks, let's be praying. I am going to make a commitment that I am going to be praying specifically about some of these issues this week, every day, from 1 to 2 o'clock. And if you have that time available, wherever you are, I encourage you to join me, but take some time whenever you have it, each day, and pray specifically about the needs of this time. He goes on to say, love, be hospitable, use your gifts, share God's grace, speak the kinds of things that God would say. Let's be careful of how we talk with each other, how we speak about things. Serve with the strength God provides. Why? So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Again, I just think there's so much in there for us to take to heart right now. So read that over, pray about it. I want to mention this, if you are looking for information specifically about Northgate and what's going on here, you can always go to northgatefmc.com/news, and we will be putting updates on our website. Let's take a moment right now and pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as the God of the universe, the God of all power, all strength, and the God of all love, too. And so we rest in your love. We rest in your strength and power, Lord. We ask you to come to us in a very special way, not just at this moment in time, but all the time. Come to us in a special way. Bring your Holy Spirit to us in a special way. Help us as the body of Christ to be good representatives of who you are, especially in times of difficulty and trial. But we pray that more and more people will turn to you, even now, and find the strength, hope, and peace that you offer them. We ask your blessing on us on this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to get into the message, and here's how I want to start. We're living through some difficult and somewhat scary times. We've got this virus. It's causing a lot of fear and disrupting everyday life, and the fallout is hitting a lot of different places. You know what's happening in the stores, and you know, just try to get toilet paper right now, you know, or hand sanitizer and all of that. And people are anxious, right? They're anxious. I get it. People are concerned about getting sick. They're concerned about missing paychecks. They're concerned about what they're going to do with their children. Schools are closing. There's a lot going on, and it's been a long time since we have seen anything like this. But as people of faith in Jesus Christ, this is what we know, right? This too shall pass. It will. This too shall pass, okay? This crisis will pass. There'll be another one somewhere down the line, perhaps, unless Jesus comes back first, but even then, things are going to change dramatically. We know that. But this too shall pass. And, you know, some people think that's a verse from the Bible. It's not. Okay, it sounds like something that you might read in the Bible, but it's not a verse in the Bible. There is a story that King Solomon, who is a person from the Bible, that King Solomon may have uttered these words to a man who was going through a lot of crisis in his life. This is how the story goes. This man was going through a lot of crisis in his life. He came to King Solomon because King Solomon was known as the wisest person who ever lived, and he asked King Solomon for some words of advice, and the story says that King Solomon took off a ring, gave it to the man, and the ring was inscribed with the words, "This too shall pass." Nobody knows if that actually happened or not. Certainly could be something that Solomon would say because he was a very wise man. But here's the thing. Whether Solomon uttered those words or not, it's a biblical truth that things are going to change, right? Things are going to change. So we'll get through this, and we may have to go through other things in the future, but we're not going to live in fear or panic. Instead, we're just going to keep putting our faith in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and God will take care of us no matter what. Now, we had prepared a sermon series that is going to wrap up actually on Easter weekend, and we're still going to go with that series. And the series is about getting unstuck from the past, okay? So it's actually about moving on and recognizing that things do change, and we need to change. We need to grow. We need to let some things lie in the past and move into the present, right, where God is with us today. So the message tonight is getting unstuck from the past. Now, I'm not talking about forgetting the past, you know, because that's a very hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing for people to forget things from their past. And we're not talking about pretending it was different than it was. That's unhealthy, okay? And that will cause us problems eventually. We're talking about being able to learn from our past, being able to put it in perspective, okay, and not let it ruin the present. I was thinking about it this way, and I grew up on a farm, so forgive me if this illustration doesn't work. It'll work for some of you, though. I was thinking about getting unhitched from our past, okay? And this is the picture that came to mind. The picture is about a horse pulling a cart, and the cart gets mired in the mud, so mired in the mud, it can't pull the cart out, okay? Now, if that's your horse and cart, you're not just going to say, "Oh, well, you know, too bad for the horse, I'm out of here," right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to unhitch the horse from the cart, right? Leave the cart there. Take the horse with you, right? That's what you're going to do. You're going to get unhitched. So think about that in terms of getting unhitched from the past. Some of us are carrying around. We're not carrying. We're pulling a cartload of stuff from the past. We've just been piling things back there in that cart day after day, year after year, and it's just been piling up back there, and it's weighing us down. It's holding us back, and we've got to unhitch ourselves from that. It's not letting us go where God wants to take us. We've got to let ourselves go from that, leave the cart there, and move on. So that's the illustration that came to my mind earlier this week. So getting unstuck from the past. And here's the main point. We shouldn't let the past steal our present. Don't let the past steal your present. Right? Don't let it rob from you the joy and the experiences and all of that God wants you to have today. Don't let your past steal from your present. Now, again, Solomon may or may not have said this too shall pass, but he did say some things very similar, and I want to read a passage from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. It's a very familiar passage. You'll know it, especially if, like me, you grew up in the 60s listening to a group called The Byrds, because they made a very popular song out of it that is still played, okay? That's how wise Solomon was. His words are still being played, and people are singing them, and many times they don't even know they're singing Solomon's words. But here they are from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Verse 1, Solomon says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Do you hear what Solomon is saying? There's a time when things are right and there's a time when they're wrong. Right? There's a time for everything, and a large part of success in life is knowing what time it is and what to do at this time. Okay? I got to say this. I'll probably get in trouble with somebody for saying this, but I'm reading through those verses, and it says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know what came to my mind? High school hall, right? Because that's where the teachers say, no PDA. You know a PDA, or is that just too old, right? Public display of affection, right? There's a time to embrace, there's a time not to embrace. There's a time to scatter stones. I grew up on that farm. You know, we were picking stones out of the field. We didn't want people scattering the stones. But here's the point. Again, and we need to edit that part out too. But anyway, here's the point. There's a time for everything. Do we know what time it is? And are we living in the time that we have now? Or are we living in that past for that cart full of stuff that we really should be leaving back there? There was a time to buy stock on Apple computers. It was 1980. You'd be a wealthy person if you'd bought a lot of stock in Apple computers back in 1980. There's a time to stop seeing someone who's toxic. It's before you get married. There's a time to change the dead batteries in your flashlight. I've learned this the hard way. It's before the next power outage. Okay? You know, there's a time, if we are smart about how we use time, we will enjoy life so much more and have so much more of what God wants for us. So, let's talk about that a little bit. I was thinking about things we get hung up on from the past, things that keep us stuck, okay? Things that are in that cart that probably should go. We can get stuck in the past. I just kept thinking of more and more things. We can get stuck in the past due to all kinds of things, regrets, secrets, grudges, discontentment, glory days, fear, blame, trauma. All of those things can keep us stuck in the past. So regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Frank Sinatra. I've had plenty of regrets, more than Frank Sinatra, apparently, because I've had lots of regrets. And I'll tell you, at times I have let those regrets keep me stuck in the past, right? Because I just ruminate on those. We need to let those things go so they don't steal from the present. Secrets. There's a saying in recovery groups that is, I think, profound. It says, we are as sick as our secrets. Why? Because when we keep secrets, things from the past that we dread people finding out about, right? It's kind of always in the back of our mind. You know, what if they do find out? What will people think of me if they know? And that's why in recovery groups, it's real early on after people form a relationship with God, they're encouraged to make a list of those things and then tell somebody. tell somebody so that you get those secrets out. Secrets have the power to keep us stuck in the past. Grudges. When we keep a grudge against somebody, when we rehearse our anger, when we build resentments, we're living in the past over a slight or something that somebody did to us, and we won't let it go, and it's burning us up inside. They may have moved on already. We're the ones who are burning up inside, and it's affecting our present. Discontentment. Discontentment, not with the past, but with the present. If I'm unhappy in the present, it's real easy to find myself drifting back to the good old days, right? The good old days when things were so much better. Read the story of the Exodus. You know, this comes up so many times where the people, as they're coming out of Egypt, out of slavery and moving to freedom, and things get rough and things get hard. And what do they say to Moses? Oh, things were so much better back then when the Egyptians were beating us every day and taking our children and turning them into slaves. And, you know, that, they just go back to those good old days that weren't so good. But you know, if we're not happy in the moment, in the present, it's easy for us to think the old days were so much better when they probably weren't. What about the glory days? You ever talk to somebody who's living in the glory days? You know, way back when they were like a football star, you know, but now they're 64 and they really could stand to lose a few pounds. But, you know, way back then I was a football star, man. I was the best tackle on the team, right? Bruce Springsteen wrote a great song about this called Glory Days, and the first part of the song is all about a guy who was a great baseball player, and that's all he can talk about with people was, back in high school, I was a great baseball player. Yeah, well, you're well past high school now, right? But some of us, we live back there in those glory days. For me, it was a sixth grade spelling bee. I got to tell you this, because sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we combined and we had a spelling bee, spelling championship, right? And I was runner-up. I was runner-up in those three grades, you know, about 100 kids. I was runner-up, right? Now, I could live on that for the rest. No, I can't live on that for the rest of my life, right? I got to leave that in the past. Who cares, you know? Anyway, more than you wanted to know. Fear. Fear of the future can keep us stuck in the past, right? Right? So I'm afraid of what's ahead of me. I don't know what's coming, and it's making me anxious, so I just kind of take my mind back to the past, to some time that was more comfortable and more safe. Or fear of change can keep us stuck in the past. I'll tell you, it took me a long time to not buy a paper calendar and write everything down. You know, now I keep everything on my phone, but it took me years. I'd do the phone, I'd put it on there, on my calendar, and I'd put it on paper because I was just sure my phone was going to let me down someday and I wouldn't know what I was supposed to do the next hour. But you know what? I've given up the paper calendar. I've moved on because I don't want to live in the past. I'm going to move into the future. Blame. Another way we get stuck in the past is when we spent our time blaming people for us not being where we thought we would be now. Okay, so my parents were too busy. They didn't spend enough time with me, and that's the reason that I struggle in my life as an adult. Or my teachers, they didn't give me enough credit, you know, they didn't give me enough opportunity, or my coach got in the way of my pro football career, you know. I would have been a star if only my coach had done this or that, you know. And we blame people for the places that we are today. That's gonna keep us stuck in the past. And one last trauma, and please understand, when I talk about blame and trauma, I'm talking about two different things. Trauma is a real thing that happens to people through abuse or neglect, bad experiences that can be very difficult for them to move on. But here's the good news. God is a healer. God is a healer, and He wants to heal us of trauma. He wants to help us to move beyond our past and into the present. We cannot rewrite our past. And we can't simply forget it. I really like what Pastor Rick Warren says about it. He says, we are products of the past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. I love that. We are products of the past. Everything that has happened to us in the past has contributed to who we are now. But we do not have to be prisoners of our past. God says it this way in Isaiah chapter 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God says, forget the former things. Well, that's hard sometimes. But then He offers this. Don't dwell on the past. That's helpful, right? Even if I can't forget, I can choose not to dwell on the past. Some things I can forget about, leave behind. Other things I may not be able to, but I don't have to dwell on them. I don't have to let them keep me a prisoner of my past. Instead, I can start to pay attention to what God is doing. Look at what he's doing. He says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Can I tell you, this has come to life for me in a brand new way, having just visited Israel a few weeks ago, because we spent a good deal of our time in the wilderness of Israel, down in the wasteland part of Israel, the southern part of Israel, where there is nothing but rock. And when God says, I am making a way in the wilderness, I think about God creating this path that I can follow, because right now in a lot of you just get lost out there if you try to find your way. But God is making a path for us to follow through the wilderness, and he's making streams in the wasteland. What happens when you introduce water to a place that is dry and barren and rocky? You know, you put enough water in there, right? What happens? Things begin to change. Things start to grow, right? Suddenly plants start to spring up. And grass and so forth. God is doing that. He's saying about our lives, if we will let him, he will make a path for us to follow that will bring us out of the past and into the present and into a wonderful future. And if we let him, he will bring water into our wasteland. Whatever is a wasteland for us, he will bring water into that so that we can be nourished and fed and grow healthy. I love that. I love what God is saying there. And it all begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It all begins with a relationship with Jesus. I believe that the only way to really have a transformed life, to have a life where I can be free of my past and I can live fully in the present with joy and peace, is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's talk about that a little bit. Instead of trying to hide the past or hide behind my past, three things I can remember. First, I can remember that my problem past is forgiven by the blood of Jesus. My problem past and your problem past is forgiven by the blood of Jesus. When we come into a relationship with Jesus, everything, say everything. I don't care if you're at home or wherever you are, say everything. Everything, right? When we come into a relationship with Jesus, everything we did or said or failed to do or say that has left us feeling guilty and ashamed is forgiven by God. Everything. I don't have to live being unforgiven 1 minute longer. The very second I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and acknowledge that he poured out his blood for me on the cross to pay for those sins, and I proclaim him to be my Lord and Savior, all my sins are forgiven. My record is expunged. I am pardoned and freed. Some of us are stuck in the past because we have not received that word from God. We haven't really believed that everything that we have done or failed to do, every sin we've committed, has been forgiven by the blood of Christ. We need to receive that. We need to believe that. We need to live in the power of that. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Have you ever heard your parents when you were a kid, they ever say, no means no? Yeah, anybody's parents say that? No means no. When God says no, he means no. He means no. He doesn't say, now there is, you know, just a little bit of condemnation for those who are in Christ. He says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, would you please believe and receive that all of your sins are forgiven? You don't have to dwell on past sin. They are forgiven. God doesn't want you ruminating about them. They're gone. God has forgiven you, freed you, pardoned you. The key is, are you in Christ Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? If you can say an honest yes to that, then there's no condemnation for you. There's no condemnation for you. You are set free. So receive that. Don't let Satan keep you stuck regretting a sinful past. Defeat Satan by giving your life to Christ. Secondly, instead of trying to hide the past or hide behind my past, I can remember this. My painful past does not define who I am in Jesus. For some of us, it's not our own sin that keeps us stuck. It's the sin that's been committed against us. It's that abuse, that neglect, that ill treatment that we received. that's left us feeling like we have no worth. We don't deserve to be loved. We don't deserve to be treated well. To all of that, God speaks a powerful word of healing if we will receive it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God wants us to know that regardless of what we've done, or regardless of what has been done to us, we are not defined by our past. We are not defined by our past. We are defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody, no individual gets to define who we are because someone with greater authority and power and position has claimed that right. You know, there was a time before I was a pastor that I worked in the church, and I wasn't able to use the title pastor. It wasn't appropriate. It wasn't mine to use. It wasn't mine to use until a service where Bishop Richard Snyder spoke some words over me and ordained me. And when that happened back in 2004, suddenly I could use the title pastor. You see, I didn't have the right to give myself that title. It took somebody with authority and position and power to confer that title on me. Do you see where I'm going with this? You see, nobody gets to define who you are because only God, who created you, has the position and the power and the authority to define who you are. And what does God say about you? In John 1:12, he says this, to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're in Christ, God says, you can call yourself my child. You can call yourself a child of God. You don't have to listen to what people said about you way back when. You don't have to keep those titles and those names. You can let them go because God says, if you're in Christ, you get this title, child of God. And God says in that 2 Corinthians passage that when you become a Christian, when you become in Christ, then you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So don't let the people of your past define you. Get the definition of who you are from God himself by becoming his child. One more thing about getting unstuck from the past. Instead of trying to hide the past or hide behind my past, I can remember my problem past is forgiven by the blood of Jesus. My painful past does not define who I am in Jesus. And my best is yet to come. My best in Christ is yet to come. You know what I love about Jesus? Actually, I love a lot about Jesus. But you know, one of the things I love about Jesus is that he is a lot more concerned with where we are going than where we have been. Just two quick examples, okay? There was a man, and this happened at the Pool of Bethesda, another place we visited when we were in Israel. There was a man that Jesus healed from paralysis, and when Jesus saw him later, he said to him, now listen, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Okay, that's all he said to him. Stop sinning or something worse than paralysis may happen to you. Okay, so what is Jesus concerned about? He's concerned about that man's future, okay? He said, I don't want worse things to happen to you than paralysis, so you need to live a holy life. He says something very similar to the woman who was caught in adultery. He didn't lecture her or make her beg for forgiveness. He saw her remorse, he forgave her, and he pointed her to her future, saying, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus is a lot more concerned about where we're going than where we've been. He offers us forgiveness for our sins, and then he says, listen, live out a good life. Live out a holy life. That's what I'm asking you to do. God is at work in each and every one of us, and he's making us more and more like his son, Jesus, if we are in Christ. Listen to what John says. And this is, I took from the Message version because I really liked how it said this. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. That's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him and, catch this, in seeing him, become like him. Does that excite you? It excites me. The idea that God could make me like Jesus? That's exciting to me. Now, of course, you know, that doesn't mean he's going to give me, you know, Jesus kind of knowledge and wisdom. You know, Jesus has all knowledge. I'm not going to get that. It doesn't mean I'm going to be able to create universes, right? Only God can do that. I'm not going to get that kind of thing. But what is he doing? He's making me like Jesus in my love, in my compassion, in my kindness, in my thoughts, okay, in the way I treat others, in the way I worship God. He's making me like Jesus in all of those ways and more. He's doing that. We may not be perfect in the way we love others yet, but we will be. We may not be perfect in patience or kindness or compassion, but we will be. We may not be perfect in our thoughts, but we will be. We will be if we're in Christ, because that's the work that God is doing, and God does perfect work. So I'm not the best version of me at this moment. I'm not. Okay? You can catch me in some bad moments. I'm not the best version of me. But that's coming. It's coming for me. And if you're in Christ, it's coming for you too. So don't get stuck in your past. Take a hold of the hem of Jesus' robe like that woman did. You know the woman I'm talking about? She'd been sick for so long. And she said, I just need to touch him. And she grabbed a hold of his robe, and he healed her. He healed her. She had a new life. Take a hold of the hem of the robe of Jesus and let him heal you and free you from your past so that you can live fully in the present. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us on that cross. You sent him to die to pay for our sins so that by believing in him and receiving what he has done for us, we could have new life. And you raised him from the dead to give us the hope, the sure hope, that we also can be raised from the dead. We can be raised from the dead of an awful past. We can be raised from the dead, the graveyard of our sins and our regrets and all of that stuff. Lord, we can be raised from the dead, given new life, and live that life for you, because you give us the power to do that through your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name.